we can gather online if that's what it's going to take, because nothing is going to stop us from worshiping you. God, we love you. We thank you. Be with me now as I stand and preach. God, give me your words. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to cough. I have not perfected the whole grabbing my mic thing that Brad does, because it sounds like, and it just, I don't know how he does it, but, well, I've got a word for us this morning from James, just dealing with all of this coronavirus stuff. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Wash your hands, you sinners." And so that's where we're going to spend the next 40, no, I'm just kidding, I just, you know, I ran across that on Facebook, so you probably saw it too, but thought that was hilarious. We're actually going to be in Romans chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be talking about living in peace. Living in peace, all right? Times are uncertain right now with the craziness of everything going on. You know, you guys showing up is brave. As you can see, we've got several empty seats in the house, and so it's just, it's awesome to gather as a group of believers, right, as the church. And so we can come into this building, and we're talking, I don't know what Brad all said before I was changing clothes and sweating down back there. You know, we may end up having to go all online for the next few weeks, just depending on what all happens. But the amazing thing is God is not just a God that can be worshipped in this building. He can be worshipped anywhere. And just it's just awesome to know that, right, to be at peace with that. And so, like, one of the things that I just kept praying as I was preparing is that God would speak to all of us this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm in Romans 5, 1 through 11, and I'm just going to read. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Man, we've been walking through the book of Romans in college on Wednesday nights, and just to hear verse 1 in light of everything else that Paul's been talking about, to catch you up a little bit, in Romans chapter 3, or chapter 1, verses 18, kind of following, it just talks about how God gave us up to our sinful desires, our sinful passions, and all of that, and because of that, in chapter 2, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is going to be poured out onto us as sinners. And so as we've been getting through this, we see through chapter 3 and through chapter 4 that we have been declared righteous through our faith in Christ. For those two that that got baptized, they made that profession of faith 2 years ago, a couple of weekends ago. But they have gone from the wrath of God to life in Christ. Right? And if you've made that decision, however old you were, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 33 years old, whatever that looks like, you went from sin and death to life and grace. And just, it's an amazing picture of the transformation that God does in us. And so to hear Paul start off, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God," that is huge news. Amazing news that we can be at peace with God of the universe. You see, down in verse 10, we were enemies of God, And verse 6, he died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. Which is all of this, like, we were dead and lost. And the wages of sin is death. And so we see that when Paul says this, we have a new status with God. We have a new status with God. If you're taking notes, that's your first blank. But we have a new status. We have peace with God. At the very end, it says we've been reconciled, which means we were once enemies, but we've worked it out. We've talked it out. And guess what? We didn't do anything. God is the one who's reconciled that, fixed that through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And so it's just amazing news and quite unbelievable if you've been following the story of the gospel that we can have peace with God because we're all sinners. We're all imperfect. Every single one of us, including this guy standing up here, we all have sin in our lives. But thank God he pours out his grace and love on us so that we can have forgiveness, that we can be justified. Justified is a big church word that means being made right. We get to be made right with God, right? We've been reconciled. We are his friends. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, right? We have faith into grace through our faith in Christ. And that's just awesome, right? Point two, we have hope even in suffering. Even in suffering, we have hope. Right? Verse 2, through him we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That word rejoice in the Greek basically means boast. We get to boast, not in anything that we've done, not in anything that we could accomplish, but we get to boast in the hope of the glory of God. We get access to his glory and his righteousness when we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. He gives us his righteousness and exchanges it for ours, which is nothing but filthy rags, as Isaiah says. Not only that, verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Right? The future used to be wrath. It used to be I don't want to think about it too much. Can you imagine God of the universe pouring out his wrath on you? And praise Jesus, we don't have to receive that anymore. Christ has received that on our behalf, right? And so even in our sufferings, we can rejoice. We can boast in God. How many of you like to suffer? Not this guy. I can tell you, I will do anything and everything I can to make my life as comfortable as I can. I will. I don't go barefoot. Barefoot? I don't know. Whichever one you pick. I don't go without shoes. I'll put it that way. I don't. I can't walk to my car from my truck from here. Like, it hurts my feet. Like, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I got the pansiest feet ever. But, I won't even halfway walk through my house just in case the kids left the Lego out or something. Like, it's not going to happen. I want to be comfortable. But see, God didn't ever promise us that it was going to be a comfortable life. He didn't promise that it was going to be a bed of roses where we just get to float from here to there and do whatever and just be all this is, right? It's life. And sin has corrupted everything that was good about his creation. And so we're going to suffer. But that suffering isn't pointless, right? It produces endurance, right? I don't know if any of you are runners or probably exercise. Everybody's probably exercising in the room, hopefully, you know. And like the first time you do it, you can get through a workout and you're feeling, you know, pretty good. But the next day you can't walk. You know, you can't stand up straight. You know, you strain some muscles that you didn't even know you had, you know. But the more and more you suffer through those workouts, the better and better in shape that you get, the longer you can endure through that suffering, right? And so the same idea is here with our Christian walk. We will, at times, go through suffering. Anybody that teaches differently isn't reading the same Bible I'm reading. We will go through suffering. And if you're not in a time of suffering now, you either just got out of it or you're probably headed into it. So get your prayer life ready, right? But suffering produces endurance. The more and more that you depend on God through that suffering, the stronger and stronger your faith comes. The next time a similar situation comes, oh, God's got that. God's got that. I don't have to worry about that. And that's that endurance taking shape. I know this will shock many of you, but I played basketball in high school. Don't laugh. It's all right. I played basketball in high school, all right? I was in Alaska. I was at a 2A school, okay? So not the smallest of the small, but I was at a 2A school with 36 kids in the entire high school, all right? 36 kids in the entire high school, all right? 9th and 10th grades were together, and 11th and 12th grade, and then every other year they flip-flopped the classes, so you got through the 4 years, whatever. But I was on the basketball team, and through that, we in Alaska, everything is miles and miles and miles apart. Like, the closest town to us was 60 miles away. Beyond that, it was 90. And beyond that, we're talking a 3-, 4-, 5-hour drive, all right? And so when we would go on an away trip for basketball, it was more like 3 or 4 days. Because we weren't going to waste the opportunity of getting away, so we would bounce to this town, and then this town, and then this town, and then this town, and then eventually we'd come back full circle to back to the school, all right? Well, in that, my dad's pastoring a church that had 7 members, okay? As you can imagine, a church that's got 7 members, the paycheck for the pastor is not that great, all right? And so on these basketball trips, I would need money for food. All right, and I'm not telling you this story to brag on myself because I don't even remember this. This is my dad talking and telling me the story later because I really don't remember it. But I would go to dad and say, hey, I need some money for food on this basketball trip. Dad say, we don't have it. We don't have it. And then eventually, you know, come time to the trip, they'd go check the mail and there'd be a random check in the mail, right? And dad would hand me some cash. You got $2 for breakfast, you got $3 for lunch, you got, you know, probably $5 for dinner, right? And just ration it out for us, all right? And so he said after a while, every time he would tell me, no, we don't have the money, I would go pack my bags because I knew that somehow or other, I don't know how, but the money was going to show up and I was going to be able to go on the basketball trip, right? That is just an example. Now, like I said, I'm not bragging on myself because I don't even remember that, but more and more times that you have to depend on God through suffering, the easier it is to get to depend on Him when the hard times come. And after you depend on Him and build up some endurance, that's when your character begins to develop. Your character is that guy, that girl, they depend on Christ. Even in their suffering, I'm amazed at how people walk through different situations. Just different, like losing loved ones. Like, I can't imagine what that's like without Christ, without the confidence to know that one day we're going to see them again if they were believers. It is just amazing. But as you depend on God through that, your character develops. You know, oftentimes, like I said a while ago, we will avoid suffering at all costs. But sometimes I think we're shortchanging what God is trying to do in us. What God's trying to do in us. So we have hope even in suffering. Point number 3, hope is certain. Hope is certain. Hope is certain because it's not based on anything that we've done. It is based on what God has done for us. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in the room, you should have that prompting from the Holy Spirit every now and then. Hey, that's probably not a wise thing for you to do right now. Stop it. You heard that one before, right? Other times it's, you know, you're bouncing a Taco Bell just to grab a taco real quick because it's fast, right? But then God says, hey, you should go talk to that person, right? How many of us listen to the Spirit? But here's the thing. The Spirit is confirmation that God lives in you, that you have been reconciled. That is one of the greatest things of all time, that we don't have to doubt whether or not we're saved. We know because the fruit in our lives bear it out. because the Holy Spirit inside of us is prompting us and leading us and telling us what to do. And we know that God's love is in that because he's poured his Spirit out on us. We know that hope is certain because it's based on God's love. It is based on God's love. That's sub point. There you go. It is based on God's love. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, there's not a single person in here that deserved the gospel, Christ. No one in here deserves the sacrifice that God made for us. But God, while we were still weak, at the right time, sent Christ to die for us. And then he goes into this whole little situation, right? For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The students and youth group, we've taken the last 10 weeks and we've walked through the gospel, starting in Genesis, in Adam and Eve, and God created everything good, everything perfect. Right? And then Genesis chapter 3, we mess it all up. Right? They eat the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. And through all of that, sin entered the world. Right? And so, in that, God has been showing his love for us from Genesis 3, where the first sacrifice story happens. You may have missed it. But before God bans them from the garden, he gives them animal skins for clothes, which means something had to die. From the very beginning, it's always been a sacrifice story. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins, the Bible says. And so from then on, through that, we see Moses, and we see how God used Moses and through that whole scenario, right? And then Abraham. Abraham was blessed to be a nation to, blessed to be a blessing to the nations. He was should be blessed. And from there, like, it wasn't just about the Israelites the whole time. God was pouring out his blessing on the Israelites so that they could bless the nations. Because he knew from the very beginning Jesus was coming. The perfect sacrifice. And so God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, there's nothing good in us. Christ died for us. Hope is certain because we have been justified and reconciled. Point B. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Here's the thing. What God has done in the past only confirms what he's going to do in the future. What God has done in the past only confirms what he's going to do in the future. And so we've seen how God, through the entire Old Testament, leading into the New Testament with Christ coming, and how he sent him to be that sacrifice so that we could be reconciled, right? Which means we work out our differences. He erases the sin in our lives by pouring that wrath that was the punishment for that onto Christ, right? We were justified, being made right, and we were reconciled, being reunited with our Lord and Savior. And so hope is certain. Point C, so we rejoice in God who has done all of this. Man, if you can't worship after reading a passage like this, if you can't worship realizing from that God took us from death and sin into life and death, then you need to check and see, is the Holy Spirit actually living in you? Have you made that decision to follow Christ? Because this is what the good news is all about. This is why we gather together in the midst of some kind of crazy virus out there, either online or in this room, to worship the God of the universe. So we don't have to live in fear of anything else that's going to happen or will happen or might happen, because we have peace with God, which is far greater than anything else. So what? What is all of this? What does it matter? Well, first, we can stop living in fear. We can stop living in fear because we know that God's got it. God's got this under control. He's going to be God because he is God, regardless of the situations we come into contact with, regardless of where we find ourselves in our life. Now, this is one of those things where, you know, I get in trouble because somebody's like worrying or has anxiety or whatever else, and this is my response. Stop it, right? And it's so much easier to say, just stop it, right, for me to say that than the person who's actually worrying or has that concern or whatever else. But here's the thing. If we stop living in fear and instead live in peace, we realize that God has got it. These are the next blanks down the slides there. Stop living in fear. Instead, live in peace. Because we can live at peace because we know that God's got us. And if God has got us, Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from that love. God has got it, and so we don't have to worry about it. We can hand it over to him. Now, our sinful nature, our earthly side of things, we like to worry about things. We like to, you know, and you know, it just builds up inside of us, and we start worrying, and we start, you know, they were laughing at me earlier because I get anxious, nervous before I come up here and preach. It just is going to happen, right? And regardless of what else is going on, I probably talk 3 times faster now than I do anywhere else. Brad gets on to me in the office. You know, I wish you would talk as fast as you do on stage as here, and that's just me. But if we would just turn our anxiety over, if we would just turn our depression over, if we would just turn our worries over, cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your cares on the Lord. Just allow him to take it because he's got it. He's in control. Even when Adam and Eve messed up so bad in Genesis 3, he's had this plan all along. It wasn't like plan B. Oh, no, they messed it up. Let me figure out what I'm going to do. This was it. And this is it. So, stop living in fear and instead live in peace. Second thing, stop living in guilt. I think guilt is one of Satan's biggest tools that he can use against us. Well, God can never use me because of what I did. God can never use me because of what I've done. You don't know me. God knows me. God loved you so much that he reconciled and justified you. Which means we, that new status, we have peace with God. We have been declared righteous. And so when God looks at us, he's looking at us through the blood of Christ and sees a perfect son or daughter of God. This is the greatest news of all time, that we can stop living in guilt and instead live in grace. Now, I'm not saying that we just get to live however we want to and we can sin all we want to. Paul says that in Romans 6. Should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? By no means, right? But stop living in guilt. Once you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, he does. He's faithful and just to remove them as far as the east is from the west. We get to live in grace. And God wants to use us to accomplish his mission, which is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, right? Baptizing, teaching. This is what we're called to do. Point 3, stop living as though God was absent from your life. Too many of us, like, we just go through life and we don't really think about God. We wake up, well, I got to go to work, so I'm going to take a shower, hopefully, and get dressed, and, you know, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to grind it out for the 8 hours, 9 hours, and then I'm going to go home. You know, for those of you on 12-hour shifts, man, I'm sorry. You just grind it out, and you don't think about God not one time, you know, or somebody does, well, you know, I don't need to pray for my sister. You know, yeah, okay, I'll pray. And then we just kind of walk away and we forget about it and we don't really pray like we say we're going to, and all of this stuff. And so, like, stop living as though God was absent, because he's not. He has shown us over and over and over in his word that he is with us and he wants to walk with us. So stop living as though God was absent from your life. Live knowing the God of the universe loves you so much that one, he gave his son to die, gave his spirit to live in you, and even through our sufferings is molding us into who he wants us to be. I gotta cough again. I had this great idea last Monday because it was finally a pretty day that I was going to set the chair on the back porch of the fellowship hall back here and study. And so within about the hour and a half, I've sucked in as much pollen as I could. I'm really good. It's just allergies. But the last slide there. Stop living as though knowing the God of the universe loves you so much that he gave his son to die, gave his spirit to live in you, and even through our sufferings is molding us to who he wants us to be. You know, one of the things that I tell students all the time when they're going through a messed up situation is that God can use you through this. First, show everybody else the situation that you're going through, and God's got it by the way that you live, by the way that you act, by the way that you hold your head up, you know? And sometimes it's hard to hold your head up. So even in that, tell everybody, God's got me. God's got this. Don't worry about this. Because the God of the universe loves us so much. He does. And I hope, without a doubt, that you sitting in here and those of you watching online know without a shadow of a doubt that you've placed your faith and trust in him so that you can be justified, that you can be reconciled to the God of this universe who loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die on us, and all we have to do is proclaim that faith and trust in him, turn over our lives, confess him as Lord, and walk with him. Regardless of anything else that's going on in the world, we know this one thing, that God loves us. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you, God, so much for your love. God, so much that you decided to give your son for us, to make that perfect sacrifice, God, that there was no possible way that we could live up to that standard. But God, because of your grace, because of your love that you've poured out on us, God, I pray that we never forget, God, how amazing your love is. So God, I just pray that as we turn our minds to you, God, that if we've been living in fear, or if we've been living in guilt, or we've been just living like you've been absent from our life, God, that today we will make that decision to give you all of our worries, all of our fears. God, that we will live in your grace, and not in your guilt, and not in guilt anymore. But God, that we would look to you each and every day when we wake up and say, God, I want to live for you today. Help me be bold and courageous to share the amazing good news of the gospel to each and every person that I come in contact with. So God, I pray that you'll move during this time of invitation, whether for those of them in this room or those watching online. God, you are a God of everywhere. And so God, we can come to you anytime, anywhere. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before we respond in worship, those online, did you end it right there? Okay, hang on. If you're online, hang on with us. We want to include them in a prayer time after we get through our invitation time. So if you're watching online, hang tight. We're going to go ahead and sing this worship song this morning. Chris and I are at the front to receive you this morning, and we want you to respond if God's called your heart. If you want to come to the altar, and we'll respect if you need to pray, we'll pray far away from you or something if we need to, okay? We'll respect that as well. But let's stand together. Let's worship together. Let's respond together as God leads your heart this morning. This altar is open. We're here to receive you. Come.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save. shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save your name.
Wonderful. If you'd be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Chris, for leading us. Are we online? Are we gone? Are we still? We're working. We're on still. Fantastic. All right. Working with all this technology stuff. So if you are watching online this morning, I want to let you know, for those that are there, we already announced earlier to our congregation, but we are in the process, we pray, of calling our next full-time staff person to our church, a worship and discipleship pastor. All that information is available online on our website at pedalfbc.com. You can check all that there. We got inserts to our folks this morning that were here, and we'll probably do a mail out this week, depending on where our schedule is like. But if you are viewing online, we're going to be glad you tuned in with us this morning. We do have a good crowd in here this morning. We're able to be here, but we want you to know we're praying for you and for each other. And if we can help you in any way in the days to come as a church staff, we want to do that. And as a church body, we want to minister to each other. So if you find out ways, church family, ways that we can minister to each other, to our community, again, being wise and safe and all those things, we want to heed the advice of those that are in charge in our government. That's for sure. We want to be careful to listen to those kind of things. We will do that and balance wisdom with also no fear. One of the things we have the incredible opportunity, church, to do is to show and demonstrate the scripture that Chris just mentioned, that we have hope in Christ, right? That though there is certainly part of our flesh that can feel afraid, and that's not abnormal, but that we are not afraid, that we trust. That doesn't mean we do stupid things and go, you know, just to give an example, go run up to New York City in the middle of wherever that hot zone is and, you know, go run around crazy people, right? That's not what that means. We use wisdom that God has given us. That's what it means. We have a sound mind. But we also, in the same breath, we don't live in fear because we know who holds the future, right? I love what you said, Chris. We can depend on the future because we know what's happened in the past, that God is in control. We need to be able to share that with people who are afraid, who are in fear, that we don't have to live in fear. It's a great opportunity for us to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So I hope that we will do that as individuals, as families, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, that we can demonstrate the love of Christ in every way possible because of the hope we find in Jesus Christ. Again, we'll keep you in the loop. This was spring break week anyway, and so a lot of folks are out of town, and or some are out of town suffering at the beach, and other places folks are home, but we're off this week anyway for Wednesday nights. We'll be making decisions as soon as we can. We'll let you know what those are for next Sunday and what those look like and how we can do that. Also, mission opportunities that will provide itself. We're definitely going to make sure we get backpacks to kiddos if school does have to be out. We may even try to go ahead and do it this Friday for spring break week if we can do that. So just watch for social media. If you're not on Facebook, we'll try to make sure we put things on multiple platforms, Instagram, Twitter. We'll send out emails. If you've not signed up for the text messaging plan, okay, I promise you, we do not blow up your phone with text messages. We usually send an average of 2 per week on average. And situations like this, it lets us communicate with you. And so if you've not signed up, I think in the worship guide, I think it has. It's not like in your worship guide. Does it have the texting thing in there in your worship guide right now? Do you know? I don't know if it's on there or not. I know the giving stuff is there. How do you can text or give online? If it's not there, It's in the last newsletter. It's not there. Okay, it's in the last newsletter. If you've not done that, you can easily do that. It's not hard to do. The last newsletter, if you didn't get that, or call the church office, email us. We'll get you on that list so if you we can give you the most up-to-date information that we possibly have about things that will be happening in the life of our church. All right? But it wants to pray together. We want to join churches literally all over the world and all over our nation praying today for God's hand of healing on our nation, on our state, for God's hand of those that have are in hospitals, praying for those in particular. And you know, church, our folks in our church, we have nurses and doctors in our churches, in our church, and we want to pray for them. They've got a huge task ahead of them in some ways, I'm sure, already in the hours that they're working. So we want to be praying for them. If you know one of them, shoot them a text, an email, Facebook message, say, hey, we're praying for you. We appreciate what you're doing and the investment they're making in our community. Well, let's pray together, and after I pray, I'll give you a few instructions. God, I thank you this morning for the chance to be in your presence. God, for the chance to worship. Father, that your name is a strong tower, a refuge that we can run into and be safe. And God, today we join with those around our nation, Lord, to pray. Father, to fall on our face before you in humility. God, crying out to you for the one that has the answer to all things. God, we know you have a plan. God, we know that in an instant, Father, with a snap of your finger, with a blink of an eye, with a thought, Lord, you could wipe this virus completely away. Lord, we'd ask you to do that. Father, as it's raged on for quite some time, Lord, we do also know that you have a plan for all things, and you will work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So, God, we don't know what's going to happen, but, Lord, we want to trust in you and walk with you in wisdom and in truth. Father, seeking your heart. Lord, there'll be times to spend more time probably with some of us, with our families, and Father, maybe with our neighbors. Lord, opportunities to share the gospel in ways maybe we've never done it before. To disciple our kids. Lord, people have asked, what am I going to do? There's no sports on TV. Lord, give us time maybe to renew some things, our walk with you, maybe to dig deeper into your word. Father, spend some time in some areas maybe we've neglected. God, but we would look to you for the answers that we need. Lord, in looking to you, we will be a light and a witness to a world that is in so many ways very deeply afraid. And Lord, we certainly have respect for the things that we see out in front of us, but Lord, we also, as believers, we can trust in you. We can hope in you. Father, we can even be at rest in the middle of turmoil and difficulty. God, would you do your work in us to produce that character and that perseverance and that endurance, which then leads to the ultimate prize. We find hope. God, I pray for those that are tuned in today online, they're home, and God, I thank you that we're able to tune in with us today. I pray your blessings on them as well as those that are in this building this morning. God, I thank you that we can be the church, whether we're ever gathered this building or not, we can still be the church. To worship together, to interact together, to Father, we've got technology, we can FaceTime, we can do all kinds of things to keep contact with each other, and I pray we would do those things and not lose contact with each other. God, we love you. We put our lives in your hands to trust that you will do what is right and what is best. Lord, again, we pray for our leaders, Lord, our leaders in our government, our president, vice president, congressional leaders, Lord, those in our health services, the CDC and health departments all over this country, Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom. Father, there would be balances, Lord, always between doing what is right and what will help balance out those truths. God, we pray for those in our local areas, Lord, for our school leaders, our local government leaders, Lord, you'd give them wisdom as they have to make really, really tough decisions, hard decisions. So God, give them the wisdom that they need. I know that they want and desire. God, you protect them as they make those decisions. God, we love you. We look forward to seeing what you are going to do through the midst of something that seems difficult and hard. Lord, you will bring something beautiful out of it.